Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Three words capture the benefits of redemption through Jesus Christ: repentance, refreshment, and restitution. The atoning work of Jesus opened the door of repentance to all. That redemption is the first fruit of the times of refreshing that comes from the Lord's presence. It is also the guarantee that there will be a final restitution of all things that were spoken by the mouth of God's holy prophets. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 3 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 17 through 26.
So we are in Acts chapter 3, picking up where Pastor Ben left off last week. And Peter says, "And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it," that is, crucified Christ, rejected him and crucified him, "that you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled." And so Peter realizes that what the Jews and their leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. And even though it was done in ignorance, does not diminish the fact that they were accountable for what they did. You remember that when our dear Lord was on the cross, in Luke 23:34, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And in doing that, they were actually fulfilling scripture that spoke of the suffering Messiah in Psalm 22. And so they were doing it, and they were ignorant of it. And Peter says, those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. That which transpired in the crucifixion of Jesus was something that God had planned before the foundation of the world. The suffering of the Messiah, spoken of by the prophets, is found in Scripture from Genesis chapter 3 right on through the rest of the book. Questions often been asked, how could the Jews have missed such clear prophecies of the Scriptures that spoke of the sufferings of the Messiah as found in Isaiah 53 and, as I mentioned, Psalm 22? Well, by and large, it was because they had come to a point in time where they spiritualized the Scriptures that dealt with a suffering Messiah, but they only accepted as literal the Scriptures that spoke of a reigning Messiah. And so here they are. He is reminding them that what you did was in ignorance, but what you did was actually a fulfillment of Scripture. And so now he once again, like on the day of Pentecost, tells them in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing," and that can be translated rest, "shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began." And as you look at Bible prophecy, you find that much of Bible prophecy is a message of redemption and restoration. Redemption and restoration. Two powerful, powerful works of God in the lives of people who trust in Jesus Christ. He not only redeems us, but he restores us. And everything that he prophesied in what we call the Old Testament, which are the scriptures, no less the scriptures, because we have the New Testament. The only thing that has been done away with was the types and the shadows of that pointed to the sacrifice of Christ. Everything that he promised, everything that he prophesied is going to be fulfilled. And like many of the prophecies of the Bible, there's always a near and immediate fulfillment, and then there is a future fulfillment. And so Peter now, speaking to Jewish individuals, because he addressed them as such in earlier in this chapter, as we saw last week, he says, you repent. How many of you do good to tell other people that they need to repent? You repent is what the Bible says. It says, repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing or rest shall come from the presence of the Lord. The only way for sinners to have their sins blotted out is by repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after Christ came, the whole world is now held accountable for hearing and believing the gospel. When Paul went to Athens, that was primarily an idolatrous nation, an idolatrous people, so much so that when he went there, they were worshiped, they had an altar built to the unknown God. And what did Peter, or what did Paul, pardon me, say in Acts chapter 17, verse 30? That the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. Of course, that's Jesus. He's the only one who has been risen and raised from the dead. Jesus himself said, I will destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Every member of the Godhead is given credit for the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice Paul writes to these Athenians. And if you could write it to them then, how much more for us today? He says, the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now, what does now mean? Now, right? Now means right now, right here. He commands all men, how many? Everywhere. Where's that? So all men everywhere, that pretty much covers the planet, he commands them to repent. Because, here's why, there's a day of judgment coming. And the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Once to die, and then comes the judgment. And so Paul and Peter, both under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, proclaim this gospel, and the gospel message includes the command to repent. Remember in Acts chapter 26, Paul is standing before the mighty King Agrippa, and he tells him that the Gentiles in Acts 26:20 are to repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Repentance is a good word. It's a good word. It's a word that means to turn around, to stop heading in the direction that you are heading in, and to turn to God. Turning from your sin, turning to God. And how many of you know that as a Christian, the word repent is a word that is just part and parcel of what it means to be sanctified. We are continually repenting, aren't we, after we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Conversion is the beginning of repentance, but we are living a life of repentance, a life of sanctification that will only be completed when we breathe our last breath and are with the Lord. But repentance, it must be preached. It must be preached. There is no blotting out of your sin until you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, the herald, the forerunner of the Messiah Jesus, he declared, repent. Remember when some religious people came to John the Baptist? He was baptizing out in the wilderness. They came to check them out. And remember the welcome that John the Baptizer gave to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He said, oh, you brood of vipers who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Can you imagine having a greeter like that? People come walking to church, and there you are. You know, you used to hand out bulletins. Oh, you brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There is a wrath that is coming. There is a judgment day. Let's not forget that. John the Baptizer said, repent. Peter says, repent. Paul says, repent. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Gospel of Mark said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And so repentance is a word that is linked with the new birth and with conversion. And when a person is born again, he or she is converted, and they now, by God's grace, are able to enter into and see the kingdom of God. Your life is no longer the same once you are truly repentant. You see, many of us knew or were raised, perhaps religiously, where we were told that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. I was told that before I was born again. Maybe some of you were. But here's when salvation takes place. When the Holy Spirit convicts you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. That's when it goes from being worldwide and impersonal to very personal. Christ died on the cross for my sin, my pride, my greed, my covetousness, my lust, my iniquity, my evil thoughts. When that truth hit my heart, wow. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When the gospel is being preached, it will cause you to repent and believe on Jesus Christ. But here is the grace of God. Peter declares to these Jewish people, you've crucified him in your ignorance, but today you can turn around and get it right with God. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, and in 2 Corinthians, that today is the day of salvation. Today is, and it may be, and I praise God that it will be. For those of you who may have been raised religious, today may be the day of your salvation. You cannot convert yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot redeem yourself. Religion doesn't save you. Ceremonialism doesn't save you. Ritualism doesn't save you. Good works do not save you. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Titus says it's a washing of regeneration, and it's a renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he sheds on us abundantly. When you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell in you, and he now begins to work in you, to change you and to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Repentance. Repentance is godly sorrow, and repentance is music in heaven. It's music in heaven. When you read Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, Jesus says three times that when a sinner repents, that there is joy in heaven. Joy in heaven. Now, we tend to, or I tend to, not you. I tend to, or I used to tend to think, well, that is what happens when someone is converted. That's when they sing. I believe that when you and I repent, heaven is going, yes, they get it. They got it. There's joy in heaven among the angels, among the redeemed, when sinners repent. And it's a lifestyle, beloved. It's a lifestyle of putting off the old man, putting on the new man. It's a lifestyle of repentance. Being a Christian is not turning over a new leaf. The other side of the leaf is just as dirty as the one you turned over. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Isn't that true? When you're born again, all things become new. You don't become perfect, but you become new. You are quickened. You are made alive. You see things that you never saw before. You hear things that you never heard before. You are a new creature. And notice that he says, the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That word refreshing can also mean a time of rest. When you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, you enter into his rest. It's a glorious rest. It's a time of refreshing. Jesus said in Matthew 11, it's not going to be on the screen, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. The word easy there means pleasant, delightful, suitable. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's the invitation of Christ to a multitude of people who were coming to him. He says to them, you come to me, I will give you rest. There is no rest in religion. There is no rest in any kind of self-reformation. There's only rest in Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, remember when the Spirit of God was poured out, there were these people from various areas speaking to them in unknown tongues, the message, the wonderful works of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 28, beginning in verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. There's a rest for you and I today in Jesus Christ. There's a refreshing for you and I today in Jesus Christ. And there is the reminder that Christ is coming again. Notice what he says, he shall send Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again. You believe that? He is coming again. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution or restoration of all things, until the time which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So not only is there redemption, there is also restitution or restoration. God not only redeems, he restores. And I'm so glad for that. Old Testament prophecy speaks of near and future issues that God will fulfill. Every prophecy that the Lord has ever spoken will be fulfilled. None will go unfulfilled. As we will see when we break bread together today, the Lord promises us that we will drink it new with him in the kingdom. So we're looking forward to that kingdom, aren't we? We're looking forward to being in the millennium. We're looking forward to being with the Lord in that eternal state. But we're in the kingdom now. We're in the kingdom here. And there are many prophecies in the scripture that we have seen fulfilled. We have read that have been fulfilled. Many of those unfulfilled prophecies speak of the last days and how God will sovereignly work in the nation of Israel and among the Jewish people. You read in Ezekiel chapter 6, the mountains of Israel are cursed. Ezekiel chapter 36, God speaks to the mountains of Israel in the last days, and they're going to come alive. And a land that was once almost like a swampland and a barren land is going to come alive. And we've seen that happen, haven't we? If you've been to Israel, you see it. It's come alive. Ezekiel 37, there's a vision of Israel being dry bones, and God's going to speak to those dry bones and speak life to them. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 66, verses 8 and 9, who has ever heard of such a thing? Shall a nation be born in a day? And from our perspective, that's exactly what happened in 1948. A nation was born in a day. That was not the ultimate fulfillment. That is kind of like, hello, I'm coming. The Lord is coming soon and very soon. He's not done in fulfilling the prophecies that he gave to the nation of Israel. All of the land promises he will fulfill. All of them he will fulfill. It's far greater than what they have right now. But he's going to fulfill the promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because he made an olam, everlasting promise to them, that land. This phrase, restitution of all things, some actually take it to mean that one day every person is going to be saved. Even the demons and Satan is going to be saved. There's a problem with that. The Bible doesn't teach that. And these are just dreamers. There is a place called hell. And I know it's not a popular topic, but it is a topic that needs to be mentioned. There is a judgment. And at judgment day, people will be going to heaven. People will go to hell. There is no third place. There is no purgatory. There's no other land. There's no other place to go. There's no reincarnation. Today is the day when you must make your calling and election sure. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible talks about everlasting fire, Matthew 25, 41, prepared for the devil and his angels. And who else will go there? Those who reject God's gospel of Jesus Christ, who say no to the command to repent. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.